Comedians often get asked by the people they hook up with, are you gonna talk about me in your act? For Zach Zimmerman, the answer is yes. It's important for a lot of queer performers to talk about their relationships because they still seldom see themselves represented in the mainstream. And for many of them, they rather give up privacy just to be able to be seen and heard.
Today, the hilarious Zach Zimmerman joins us to talk about his debut comedy album, Clean Comedy, where he covers dating and casting his own dong for his boyfriend.
Plus, why we are still enthralled with celebrity vanity videos from the 80s. It's simple, darling.
Researchers discover the size of a monkey's balls is in direct correlation to how dazzling the monkey is.
And come on, Grease! A prequel of Grease the Musical is now in the works. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous listeners just like you.
Be the first to enjoy our hot, delicious podcasts the minute they come out of our kitchen by supporting us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/feastoffun and enter a world of fun. See behind-the-scenes photos, videos, and more before anyone else does.
Or access our vaults and have all the podcasts you can eat at feastoffun.com/plus.
Thank you for your support.
Hello, this is Zach.
Hi, Zach Zimmerman. It's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
Oh, so well. How are you girls?
You better put your phone on mute, because I know you're Tinder, your Grindr, your Scruff, your Boy Ahoy, your Growler is on blast with your new album.
That's what Grindr sounds like. It's like a bird getting, like, stomped. Yeah.
You have a new album called Clean Comedy.
And, Clean Comedy, yes.
And you put all your exes on blast, every single one of them. You read them to filth.
You're the Taylor Swift of comedy.
They did not realize I was taking detailed notes during our entire relationship so that I could have my revenge.
Is that what I would imagine? That's a big problem with a lot of comedians in the dating scene. Is like, am I going to end up in your act as you're fucking somebody and they're going to?
Well, people, I think, weirdly, like, want to be. There was this one, like, twink in LA I hooked up with, and then he was like, do you talk about me on stage? And I was like, you have, like, one joke, and that, like, endeared. He loved that to pieces. His joke was like, I hooked up with this twink, he had the biggest penis I've ever seen. It was like so big you could win it at a state fair or something. And he was just like, ah.
Now, to be, you only hook up with twinks, so you just refer to them as just guys.
Guys.
Right?
Well, you know.
Since you've left Chicago?
This year has been a dry spell on all fronts, in full disclosure. But I don't know, like, as I'm getting older, hair is becoming now. I'm like, oh, hair is not that scary. I used to think hair was scary. And now I'm like, oh, this could be kind of nice.
Hair's good to cuddle with.
Is it?
Yeah.
I hate cuddling.
It's the whiskers of men's bodies. If you like, they always tell you not to cut off your cat's whiskers because then it'll run into walls.
That's what hair for a man is.
That's
it
what
keeps
a beard
balanced.
Is. Yeah, it allows you to feel things when those you know orifices get filled. You want to have pleasure. You want a sensation. You want to taste the whole rainbow.
The whole rainbow. There you go. Interesting. Mm.
You know, Zach, your comedy spirit reminds me a lot of the late great 80s pop sensation Samantha Fox and her song Naughty Girls Need Love Too.
Well, tell me about it, Grandpa. I don't remember that album.
Are you familiar with Samantha Fox at all?
Well, no, and you're so much wiser about I feel like you always school me in terms of like the artists that have come before and like performance art. You're very wise. So tell me what Samantha Fox does.
I'm talking to you, I have to explain to you like who Madonna and Cyndi Lauper are.
Again, all these names, they're just blurring together.
And you're like, this is honestly, this is the reality for a lot of people who are over the age of 30, is that everything that was ubiquitous, you can't take anything for granted, right?
Right.
And so you're explaining to somebody like the largest, the biggest film that ever happened just a few years ago, and someone who's like under the age of 25 is like, Avengers Endgame, what's that? Comic books?
Right.
And you're like, what?
It's accelerating even faster, and there's all this nicheification and fragmenting that, like, you truly don't have a shared reference point unless, like, it happened yesterday and everyone heard about it. Like, it's really hard to, there's so much you could watch that, like, yeah, you have to explain, like, everything now. And we're becoming fragmented and tribalistic as a society, and it's the end of days.
Well, so, for me, who likes to have a little bit of every dish at the buffet of life, you know, mm-hmm. I like to taste the smorgasbord. For me, it's very exciting because then it means, you know, more sensibilities, more styles for me to experience and learn from.
Oh, that's a positive switch. I'm willing to do it. But so what did Samantha Fox do?
I forgot.
Naughty Girls Need Love.
Oh, yes. So Samantha Fox, she may or may not have been a sex worker in the 1980s. And she became a pop sensation with the song Naughty Girls Need Love Too.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought the song was about like how a sex worker, a woman of the night needs respect because she's still a woman and she still needs love too. And if you're, you know, sometimes you're, you know, you're slutty in the streets, you're still tender in the sheets.
Aw, you've read my bio.
Let me read the lyrics to her song Naughty Girls Need Love Too out of context to you. Listen to this.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I've been told time and time again, you can't treat love like a game. But I play rough with hearts that never mend. Because some guys like you will do the same. For me, love was just a four-letter word. Never heard how absurd it could be. But now I can't believe that this is all real. How I feel is now how you steal my heart away from me. Because naughty girls need love toot, 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 toot.
Toot, toot, toot. She toot toots at the end.
She goes, naughty girls need love. Toot, toot, toot.
She was covering
toot,
up a fart. Toot. You know, it's one of those farts where you walk and it's still polishing. Yeah. Every step is a little toot.
There's more. It used to be so good to be so bad. Sex was just something I always had. It used to always know what to do, but now I'm all confused. Baby, don't let me be misunderstood. Temporary love so bad when it feels so good. Then along came you, and now I know it's true. Naughty girls need love. Toot, 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 toot. And that's part of the thing is, like, you know, for a lot of young comedians, especially gay men, performance artists.
Oh, call me young, yes.
And I did this too when I was your age. It's important
kid.
To tell the story of our relationships and be heard and put those into the world because it's about not being invisible. It's about being heard and being seen. And so much of our hearts sometimes get broken in the most quiet places that we'd never, no one gets to see that.
How poetic.
Yeah.
I was at a holiday party just a few months after the breakup in Chicago. And I was
the one with the boyfriend you made a dildo of your dick for?
Or the twig got stuck on the fire escape.
He's the main one. Fire escape was just a fling. Dildo boy. That's a great name for him. And I mentioned to someone, I was debating whether or not to bring up the breakup. And I mentioned to someone, and then she was like, yeah, I just got dumped too. And there was this, I find when people are like vulnerable and open up a little, like other people can either get like weird about it or run away, or they open up a little too. And then the world feels a little like smaller. And even, I think especially sharing like, just like, I mean, I know the world's progressing very quickly with gay and queer culture being like embraced today. But when I think about my mom, she's still like, why do you have to post that you're gay on Instagram? Like, why do you have to talk about this part of your life? And I'm like, that is my life. Like, this guy was a man and my heart was broken. And that like, and I was in love with him too. Like, that's less captured in the album, because nobody wants to hear that you're happy on a comedy album. Everyone wants you to be sad and depressed and defeated.
Well, do you think like stand-up comedy is kind of like singing the blues? Like, nobody wants to hear a comedian be like, I'm just so happy, I have a great job, I have lots of money in the bank.
Right.
I have a positive outlook on the future of America.
I'm on the fence. A friend just yesterday was telling me, framed it this way. It's like, no one wants to hear you say, let me tell you about this expensive dinner that went really well. Like, no one wants to hear you talk about things that are going well for you. But on the other hand, like, people, when you support someone, you like hearing their good stories. So it's kind of tricky in comedy, because you want to be an underdog, but then once you start to achieve some success, you're no longer like an underdog, but you are still who you were. Like, I'm always, I don't know.
Well, let me give you some other perspective. You know what a vanity video is?
No.
So in the 90s, back to the 80s here, you know, Blockbuster video, there was no YouTube, there was no blogs. So a lot of these celebrities, when they got off television, especially for the women, you know, Jane Fonda made a lot of money with her workout videos. Mm-hmm. For some of these other celebrities, they really didn't know how to work out. But one thing they knew how to do really, really well is decorate their homes and eat expensive foods and have a massage therapist work their bodies.
Brenda Dixon, welcome to my home. Then there's Jessica Fletcher, who played by, she had her own little workout video.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury.
You know, the
Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Gabor did a workout video. All these little videos that they did in their 80s home.
Do you think I should do a workout video?
I think you should do a vanity video, like, you know, you're lavish. Because for somebody who has such a humble origins, your mama was a... truck driver and your daddy was a waitress.
Strike that, reverse Radio it, and cowboy. Make the truck a bus.
That's a song lyrics to a lesbian love song.
Oh, absolutely.
My daddy was a truck. My mama was a waitress. My daddy a truck driver.
What and I now learned from dick like it's my job. Do 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 do.
Your dad. What was your dad's job?
He worked on cars as a mechanic, and he was an assistant pastor at like an evangelical church. And then when they moved to South Carolina, the car mechanic gig was just too stressful. And so he became a bus driver for the public school district.
And so you had a very humble, very, you know, down to earth origins in Iowa.
Where was close it? Roanoke, Virginia, just Virginia. Right next door, right next door.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And so, you know, now that you're living this glamorous life in New York City, and
the cover of your album is
kind of reminding me very much of Zsa Zsa Gabor, Angela Lansbury in her bathtub.
Oh, that's so funny that it looked, because the reality, and I'm going to release I took video of it happening. The reality is, my friend who has 8 roommates lives in a place that has this like weird tub that just stayed there. That's gorgeous. And so I got a photographer. There's this like straight guy straddling the tub and with his like jeans rolled up and like hoping that he doesn't fall, like taking this picture. So it's all very like manufactured and it looks very glamorous so that it like catches your eye. But what's underneath it is just like, nothing's that glamorous. It just looks like it from far away. It's
well, that's what the fun thing about those vanity videos that these celebrities made is that there's an interactivity to them, right? It's kind of like that actor from Transformers who put himself against a green screen.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, it's like you're sometimes like put things out there on the internet, and what makes it fun is that someone else can add their 2 cents to it.
Oh, yep.
And some of the greatest videos.
Today's OnlyFans or whatever.
Only for fans.
Like, now people, I gotta look up these vanity videos. How did they release them? Just on
VHS, and you could rent them at Blockbusters, and you know, most of them were like,
you could order them through the mail too.
Or you could order them from their fan club, yeah.
And it feels like Insta stories today. Like, if I just do an Instagram thing, like, This is my home. This is my day.
It was shot professionally with a photographer, not with your iPhone shaking around while you're masturbating.
Oh, I see.
And they would put like a soft glow on the lens, and they're like, you know, beauty is simple and effortless, darling. All it takes is all these products. Now I'm in my bathtub with candles and, you know, and incense.
Wait, I want to make one of these that makes it seem like New York is luxurious, but it's not. It's like Vaseline on the camera, and then I'm getting onto a train that's crowded with 10,000 people, and like people are bumping up against me, and then I'm walking down the street, and it's just littered with garbage, and I'm like, this is my walk. This is.
I think that, you know, poverty is the new vanity.
Oh, who said that? You?
I just did.
You said it.
Yeah,
poverty
you heard
is
of
the
poverty
new
porn, right?
No,
that's like people who sort of fetishize those infomercials where they show all the kids starving to death in Africa with Sally Struthers.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And
and then they fuck them. Yeah, I've seen that. Poverty porn. That's I was imagining like just like blue collar people having sex.
No, it's getting off on the seeing other people who have it worse off than you do.
Yes. Like a lot of
Schadenfreude.
People with disabilities or any of these like inspirational videos that pop up online of like, oh, this person was blind and now they're wearing glasses and they see for the first like, oh, look. Yeah, it is Schadenfreude.
Well, the thing about those vanity videos and the poverty porn and any kind of visceral entertainment where people enjoy watching other people struggle is that it helps us with our own struggles.
Yeah. Well, because we recognize that in ourselves, because I guess we've all struggled and failed. And what's powerful about the stand-up then is then, like, it's not you just read this story about someone who went through a terrible thing. It's like, oh, this person has understood its role in their life, and now they're confident, and they've given meaning to this terrible experience by making art out of it, mm-hmm. and they're like owning it on stage and telling fucking jokes about it. So it's like, yeah, I think that the performance of, I mean, people say comedy is just like tragedy plus time. But for me, it's been like, oh, that relationship taught me so much about myself. Yes, it like sucked to get dumped on a plane, but I'm so glad I got dumped on a plane. I'm like so grateful for all the horrible, horrible things that have happened in my life because they've given me my perspective. Like, yes, it was not fun thinking I was going to hell for 20 years of my life, but now I wouldn't trade that for anything because it helps me understand half of the country. It helps me like to know who I am and that I'm invincible today because I went through what was just really traumatic back then. And I'm still processing it. Like I sound like I'm really hyper confident, but all it takes is like one nasty text from my mom and I collapse. But
nasty texts?
Not nasty, but I like shared. So like the album, I don't know if this means anything. It was on like the Billboard top 10. It was 9. It was out of the comedy albums last week.
That's pretty damn good.
And so
it's
not number one for a nobody. Yeah, I'll take that. I posted that on Facebook just with the caption like, Jesus, fuck. Like, oh my God, this is insane. Uh-huh. And then she screenshotted it to me and circled the Jesus fuck and was just like smacking my head. I visited you for 4 days and you didn't clean up your act at all.
Aww.
You know, and my mother always tells me if we weren't so emphasized on the gay stuff that we would be more successful with a mainstream audience.
Okay, so that's exactly what Patty's telling me. She's
your
like,
mom.
If you do clean comedy, if you did clean, you would have a bigger audience. People don't want to hear about your sex. But so much of, I don't think we have that luxury because we have to tell our stories until they become more ubiquitous. And then a gay person could have the choice. It'll be boring that you have a husband. It'll be boring that you've hooked up with men.
But, you know, she may have a point. You know, it's like I think about like all the successful LGBTQ comedians and entertainers, and all of them, you know, to the most degree, started out their careers not out of the closet and not talking about their sexuality. and or their relationships. And, you know, when they come out, they're seen as heroes because
right. Well, and what's funny about like comedy in particular, there haven't been. I have theories as to why, but in terms of like a great gay cis male stand up, like you can't think of the top. We've got like Ellen and Wanda Sykes, but I feel like there's, for whatever reason, there hasn't been a gay man who's broken through to like astronomical stand up success. I guess there's lots of popular and famous gay comic actors, but I guess maybe something about the stand up form. I don't know. Gay crowds are tough.
I think we should just all go back in the closet and pretend like it never happened.
And then just pop out in 5 years and be like, hey, you didn't know I was gay the whole time.
I was gay the whole time. That'd be a good surprise. Well, you know, I'm secretly straight. I'm just waiting. I'm just riding sucking dick to be diverse. That's really what I'm doing.
How's your dad taking it all? Because he's the preacher.
Yeah, so my mom visited me in New York for the album release, and we co-hosted a show where she got to like buzz comedians when they went blue, and it was a ton of fun, and I got really close with her, and I think I learned that she's a little bit wilder, and maybe he's like more of the like rock and rigid one. So he and I definitely don't quite, he's less sociable and very asocial, but he texted me, he was like, thanks for taking care of mom when she was there. And I was like, oh, of course, we had fun. Now it's time to work on our relationship. And he said, ha.
So what do you do? So your Christian mom came to visit you in New York City, right? What do you do with a Christian mom in New York City?
Oh, I put her on my couch. Well, she got in, and here's the weird thing. So Scruff has this new trivia game inside the app where you can, like, play. It's kind of... Yeah, it's a 10-question trivia game about queer culture, and you answer all the questions, you have a chance to win, like, up to $500. And I'm one of the hosts of that, so it's a live show, and she gets in at 4, and then I had to go to that at 6 o'clock to, like, the Scruff offices in Manhattan. And so I was like, what do you want to do, Mom? I'm going to be busy for 3 hours. I don't think you want to watch me be really raunchy on the gay sex app. But she came with me to the offices and like met the guy who runs the show, the COO. I've got like a picture of her in front of the like Scruff sign. She left and didn't like watch the show, but it just was very touching to me. Like, oh, you're making an effort to experience this part of my world. Even though you like still think marriage is between a man and a woman, and you would definitely vote for a politician that would make that law. Like it's that like two-sidedness that can be difficult to navigate, but that's what I did with her. I brought her to Scruff. We went to Whole Foods. I took her to see Waitress on Broadway. She's been a waitress for 30 years, so we went and saw the Broadway musical Waitress that Sarah Bareilles wrote the music for. It was very beautiful. We cried, and there was a woman behind us who just kept coughing the whole show, and my mom was like, I'm going to move. And then we hosted a show together. It was exhausting.
Your mom hosted a show with you.
Yeah, so she thinks I should focus on clean comedy. So I was like, let's see if that's true, Patty. And we co-hosted, we were on stage, and I had like 20 of my friends, mostly gay comedians. They came up and they did short sets. And then she had a buzzer that if they like cursed or went blue or dirty, she got to buzz them. And they had to like change their topic. So she was in charge for the night. And it was a blast.
Did she break that buzzer?
She did it about 70 times over the 20 comedians. We learned that like hating men is not clean. She really thinks we need to love men. Oh. Like my friend wrote a book called How to Date Men When You Hate Men, and she did not like that title.
Ooh.
We learned that people curse just kind of casually and don't realize it. And then also being vegan is not clean. She buzzed someone for saying they were vegan. I think she was just messing with them.
God said you will eat meat,
but she
and that meat
she
is was, meat.
I thought the actually in the Bible, like, wasn't Jesus like a pescatarian or something like that?
Yes, I'm working on a piece. There's a book called What Would Jesus Eat? It it's a very long book, and I read the whole freaking book, and I'm going to try this diet hopefully write a piece about it. But it's basically like keto pescatarian, like no bread.
Yeah, they have Bible-based diets.
Which is insane. Like, just, I mean, some part of it's good. Like, just stop eating, like, hyper-processed fast food.
Yeah.
So your parents aren't at that point. They're realizing that the Bible is just basically, like, a meaningless book of fiction that they can use to justify anything.
They'll never get there. It's the inspired word of God, like, every word, even though it contradicts itself. And it, like, it's, yeah, they'll never get there. Fox News is their Bible also.
You know, you can call the cable company and just block Fox News from their own cable channel and say, Mom, I don't know what happened. It's just not working anymore.
A friend of mine took over her mother's Facebook for like a week and just started clicking on like boring like bracelets and things so that the algorithm was like getting retrained to not serve her like Fox News ads, and she was like, I noticed a difference. My mom's not sending me like conservative alt-right articles anymore. So maybe that's what we all need to do.
Yeah, actually, if you can get a hold of your parents' password, there is a kids, get close to here to the microphone. We're gonna give you a little secret. Your parents are probably paying for cable television, and that's where they get Fox News. That's the first place. And they're not going to call Fox News. They're not going to call the cable provider if it suddenly disappears from their TV set. They're just going to watch something else. So if you can pretend to be your parents and call the cable company, it's not illegal to do this because you're the child, right? And just say, listen, can you block Fox News from my I'm just not interested in seeing that kind of right-wing propaganda on my television. Thank you. And make sure you get the 700 Club, the Angel Network, all that bullshit, right?
Wait, is this – I will do this.
You can call the cable company and block it easily, and it just won't show up anymore. And suddenly they'll be like, what happened?
They'd call.
Like, I don't know.
They'd call.
They would call. They would call.
Would I get in trouble or would they think it was funny?
I said that to my sister, too. Do it to my mother, who's 94 years old. And she's just like, oh, my God. She would call them up in no time at all and be like, where's my Fox News?
Maybe she would and maybe she don't. But you'll never know unless you try it. Now, another thing you can also do, too, is like put in plugins on their web browser. So whenever they go to Fox News, it redirects them to something more like, you know, arts and crafts or something that aligned with their interests. And the third thing is like a lot of those apps that they have on their smartphones, you can delete them or block them and then put parental restrictions on the phone with
you
a password.
Have thought about this.
Oh, I've done it. And believe me, it works. I believe in this because it is elder abuse to let your parents watch Fox News.
Oh,
it is elder abuse. It raises their heart rate. You love your parents. You want them to live a long life. You want them to have a healthy blood pressure. And showing them things that are going to agitate them and get them, you know, huddling in their safety room late at night with a flashlight and a revolver. It's not going to end well. So you got to cut the poison off at the source, at the spring.
Ooh.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm inspired, mama.
Naughty girls need love too, damn it.
Naughty girls need love too. I got to give my naughty girl mom some love by taking away Fox News.
So, Zach, how are you enjoying New York City as opposed to living here in Chicago?
Oh, my goodness. I'm closing in on 2 years in a few weeks that I will have lived here. I'll say I underestimated how hard it would be at first because I got very used to Chicago and I was there 7 years and I could like walk down the street and I might bump into someone I know and it just feels nice. And when you get to New York, it's not like everyone's like, welcome, we've got a Zach sized hole here for you. And we've got the perfect track for you. You have to like push and force and demand that the city like pay attention to you. But there's definitely, I mean, there's pros and cons in terms of like livability. I've been very lucky for me, the city shift also prompted other like big shifts in my life, namely the switch from like improv and sketch comedy to like stand up and joke writing. Cause in Chicago I wasn't really doing, I know I did the Twink on the Fire Escape right before I left, which is kind of like storytelling, like beginning to start to think about like jokes and longer scripted content. But once I got here, I kind of like plunged into the stand-up scene because I'm cheap and I didn't want to pay $2,000 to an improv theater to like take classes all over again and start at the bottom. But it's spring here. Like, it's getting kind of nice. I quit my job a year ago, so I don't have to like get on the crowded subway every day. What I really like is walking against traffic at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Like, I'm going to a show to work and everyone else is like leaving their iBanking and finance jobs. And I'm like pushing against them and get to sit on like an empty train going into wherever the show is.
You quit your job. What are you doing for a living now?
Oh, hustling, you know, mostly selling my body. No, not yet. Although someone asked, I'm not above it. It's work.
That photo of you and the album is so provocative.
Let's post it.
There's a new study out that says that, primates, so, you know, like monkeys and apes, that the smaller the size of their gonads, the more ornamentation they have on their body. So monkeys that have big, giant balls, big testicles, are usually like very plain looking. But like, you've seen those monkeys that have like, you know, the beards and the capes and the manes, and they have cheek flanges, and like they're all different shades of color in their face. They all have very tiny balls.
So this is why you guys grow beards, is what you're telling me. This is why. This is why I'm so clean shaven.
Well, you did admit in your comedy that you're not all that well endowed, so.
Well, you're pretty clean shaven now, and you would make a gorgeous woman. Have you ever considered getting into drag as to expand your brand, your audience?
So I don't really watch Drag Race. I never like quite got into it. But then I opened for Alyssa Edwards a few weeks ago. And she did like a stand-up set at Caroline's here on Broadway. And so that started to make me realize how powerful drag can be. Because watching like 5 shows, 300 people just stand for her and like worship her made me realize like people love the confidence of a drag queen, the fierceness. There are these like icons and idols that we can worship. And you could apply it to celebrity broadly, but there's something special about a drag queen who like knows who she is like polished, has her catchphrases, hits her marks. Like, people just love that confidence and the call and response. Like, it felt like a religious service, just how much the audience loved everything she was doing. And sure enough, the meet and greet after, you're right, $75 for like a few seconds with her to like get your picture that you'll post on Instagram and like have that. But it felt all net positive because the gentleman who plays Alyssa, who is Alyssa, like talks about the wig being a superhero cape. Like, it allows him to transcend to some other level too, to become this cartoon, this character.
But when I put on a wig and dress up in drag, people just put money inside me and tell me to meet them in their hotel room in 2 hours.
That's a different type of meet and greet.
You know, I don't meet and greet.
Greet the meat.
Yeah, greet the meat.
Well, I do like that. Greet the meat.
Not a meat.
Good. Greet the meat. We do the meat and the greet, and then we greet the meat.
How does that? You know, how does that make you feel? Like, as a cisgendered male who stands up there and does comedy, and you know, I'm probably sure you're just probably as funny as Alyssa, I would imagine.
Oh my God. Well, that ended up being part of my set. Like, no one wants to see someone like not in a wig, not in makeup. Their skin's just like raw dogging the air around. Do I'm not fabulous. Like, I'm just kind of this slubby, lanky stand. But drag is like a ticket. I don't know. Maybe in 5 years, I just don't like dancing, and I sweat so damn much that I don't think I'd want to get into the game. But it's something beautiful to look like. Someone like these people are incredibly talented in ways that I'm not. Like, they can actually make up their face, and they have an eye for it. Their dance numbers are like on point, and they can do jokes and stand up comedy. Like, I can do one of those things.
But let me lay this on you, Zach.
Ooh, okay, daddy.
10 years ago, 20 years ago, before Drag Race was, you know, on television or anything, you would have been seen as a sissy. Now you're hard butch.
Ooh, that's interesting.
The spectrum has been distorted and shifted and played around with, like an artist plays with clay to the point we don't recognize who we are anymore. It's like that Berlin Wall in Hedwig. It got smashed down, and now we don't know who we are anymore.
Which is, I mean, to your point, it's either exciting or terrifying against like the amount of content that there is. Like, we're also having this huge identity crisis with feminine, masculine, gender binaries, sexual binaries, like
no binary.
Who we are as a country, like what percentages of people.
I can tuck my dick. I can shave. I can put on lipstick. I can put on triple D breasts and high heels and do a dazzling floor routine. And people will be like, "Hello, sir."
right.
And Alyssa Edwards out of drag, you know, with a 5 o'clock shadow, going, "Hello, how you doing?" And they're like, "She is so fierce."
Right. I mean, that's,
and I think that the key thing is, it's what you're wearing and what gender identity you have or presenting as when they meet you, especially on television, that it can make somebody, you know, change the entire way they feel about you.
Well, there's also a thing when you're on television, they've done studies, is that just the fact that you're on television, people will trust you. So there's a certain amount of trust that's already there just because you've been on TV. Like, you might not know, like, you may have seen Kim Kardashian once or twice on television, but because you saw her on television, you believe that something that she's going to tell you is going to be the truth.
I wouldn't lend Kim Kardashian $5.
She's going to law school. Did you know that?
Yeah, scenario, so she can sue me because she won't pay me back my $5. $5. In what scenario?
Rich people never carry their wallet. They're always asking you to treat them to
the store. Do you have $5? That's how they're rich.
Yeah.
There was a comedian friend of mine asked me to order his Lyft home the other night. He's like, "Oh, my phone's broken." And then I saw the phone was working, and I was like, "Honey, I'm struggling too."
There was some guy who just bought an island in Key West for $8 million, and he just got arrested. You know what he did?
It's a good deal. It's
he
good deal.
Bought stuff at Walmart, like a Keurig coffee maker and some other items, like they came in boxes, took the stuff out of the boxes, put something else in there, allegedly, and then returned all the stuff. So they opened up one of these boxes, and like it was supposed to be like a Keurig like coffee maker, and it was like a basketball was inside of it. And then he talked to the news about it. He's like, "Well, it's kind of too hard to explain, so I don't really want to comment on it." But he has gotten charged with like retail theft.
Wow. Hey, any way to make a buck, I guess.
Do you guys want to talk about monkey balls or not? How do you guys feel about balls? You were busy looking at Matt Kemp's thing. He was caught up in the Matt Kemp thing, you know. So they did a study on monkey balls.
The balls of monkeys.
And the smaller the balls these monkeys, primates, apes have, the more ornamentation their body has. So you've seen those monkeys that have the blue-colored faces, and they have beards, or they have what's called like a cape and stuff like that. So the more, and then they have monkeys that are just kind of like plain. They look like you and me.
Yeah.
Right? Those ones have big balls. So the more ornamentation you have, the smaller your balls. So I wonder, is that the same for humans?
Touch the skin, honey. Touch the skin. Touch it all over. You can't be so fierce and fabulous as me because you are, you know what you are? An overgrown orangutan.
I completely forgot that y'all do like check in on different news stories every week. And I was like, why does Marco talk about monkey balls so bad that he's just like, guys, we really need to talk about these monkey balls?
Well, I think it's funny, you know.
It's important.
Listen, I have a
science matters.
I'll tell you the key to my success in life is I'm going to give you a secret.
Give it to me.
I have a Google alert for penis.
That's hilarious.
You know, so if penis comes up in the news, I get to.
I have one better for you.
Yeah.
I have a Google alert for Zach Zimmerman's penis.
Ooh. I mean, it's blowing up. I just set up a Google alert like 2 days ago for my own name, which I guess is the thing we should all do.
Zach, one question that people are going to ask that are getting mad if we didn't ask you is, why is your dildo bigger than your own dick? So you made as a gesture of love to your boyfriend John at the time, you decided to make a dildo, cast your penis, and make it into an actual dildo that he could fuck himself with while you guys were separated.
And that's love. That is the ultimate test of love.
But it was bigger than your own dick. So
slightly.
So that's why you guys broke up. He got used to have your dick be a little bit bigger, and then he was just not satisfied.
He's like, we broke up
because he was jealous of my success and slowly fell out of love into a bitter rage that didn't manifest until we were at 35,000 feet on the way back home from a vacation I paid for.
Oh, honey. I wish everybody could be boyfriends with you.
Aw. Right now I'm very career focused. So I don't think I have the energy to put up with someone else, but I'll take a cheerleader.
So maybe he did you a favor. He set you free so you could pursue your dreams.
Oh, everyone did. And the shitty boss that I had that like was the straw that broke the camel's back that led to me leaving my job. Like, what a gift for her to call me like unprofessional and arrogant. Like, bye. You're the best boss I ever had because you helped me leave.
Man's rejection is God's protection.
Ooh. Who are you quoting now?
That's from our podcast. If you listen to Feast of Fun, you'll learn all kinds of things.
Ooh, I like learning. Wait, there was a question, I forgot it.
About the dildo being bigger than your actual dick. Oh,
well, so the way you make it is you have this cylinder and you fill it with this like silly putty slush.
So you shove your hard cock into a
fleshlight
made out of silly putty.
Yes. And then you remove it and then there's that like void and then you fill that with like the solution or whatever and then that hardens. So I think it's just ever so slightly. A mold of a thing will always be slightly larger than the thing, unless I'm completely wrong.
No, that's called physics.
That's called physics. All I know is now that dildo's in my home and it like will never not smell slightly like poop. It just has a slight scent.
Well, can't you get it cast again and start selling them on your merch store?
Well, so I reached out to Clone a Willy. Well, no, yeah. I was on a podcast when I was in L.A. This kid has a podcast with his mom where they talk about sex, and I went on that. And then they had the Clone a Willy as a sponsor for their podcast. So I reached out to those people. I was like, hey, like, you're a character in my album. And they were like, oh my God, we love you. And they sent me a Clone a Willy and a Clone a Pussy and some swag. And they like tweeted at me. And they're going to be like a launch sponsor. A friend and I are like starting a podcast of our own, which I guess I'll have to plug at some point. And they're like going to help. So Clone a Willy's been like so supportive of my like baby comedy career, which I think is adorable and hilarious to me that this like sex company knows about me.
Well, your cock's really rocketed, huh?
My cock's that little guy, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention. He's getting his 60 seconds of fame, because that's about as long as he can last. His 2 minutes of fame, maybe.
Zach, are you planning on selling your dick to your fans? Not your actual dick, but...
Yeah. Only in material. Only in content. Is there demand for that?
You're the one who is Zach Zimmerman, not me.
Yeah, put on eBay. I don't know.
Let's start the bidding. What do you got, Faust? How much?
I don't want it.
I have enough door stoppers.
Okay, then we'll start the bidding at $0.
Listen, this is a great story. Mark had a gay Halloween pub crawl 1 year.
It was a haunted house.
It was a haunted house themed pub crawl. And we had like a comedian dressed up as Lady Gaga, but she had died. So you went to Lady Gaga's funeral.
And she sang, instead of Bad Romance, Bad Necromance.
Necromance, yeah.
You can watch that on video. Just search Lady Gaga's funeral. Some and people are like, liking it.
They were like, it's not funny to say Lady Gaga's died. So
her career was dead at the time.
It wasn't dead at the time. Taking a break. Anyways, so we did one thing where we took people into the basement of a gay bar. Since then, it's closed down. And there was this actor who was telling a story about a guy who chopped off men's penises. And so Mark went...
In a glory hole.
In a glory hole, yeah. And so Mark went to this adult gift shop and say, hey, do you happen to have any like dildos you guys don't need? And he's like, sure, hold on a second. He goes to the back and he brings out a giant box full of dildos, about 50 or 60 of them.
There was like 17.
It was a lot of them.
It was a lot of them.
I have the photo, and I was texting. And I said, "Hey, you left these at Mira last time you were right
this
here."
This box was so heavy. It was at least 50 pounds. I had no idea dildos were that heavy.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was nuts.
And so we were like, well, you can't just throw dildos at people. It doesn't make any sense. So Mark got some paint and started.
Painted the dildos to look like they were zombie cocks.
They were chopped up zombie cocks, and they looked horrifying. And people were like, what are you doing? You know, people would come over and just be like, what is this? What horrors are you unleashing on people? So if you actually sent us your dildo, I just put it in the box with all the other ones.
Yeah.
Put it in the box. Well, then I'm going to hold on to it. It'll be worth something one day.
You
got to
put this on eBay.
Put it on eBay.com.
Can you put that on Etsy? Is that legal?
Oh, I don't know. It must be.
I mean, you're a crafty bitch, honey. So,
but why? It would be like the starter dick for people who are just like it's a dick with training wheels for bottom's first adventures or something.
Oh, because you're saying it's even though it's larger than your dick, it's still modest.
I think so. I mean, maybe it's just New York, but every time I see a penis, it's bigger than mine, and I'm like, oh god, okay, what does this
I
mean?
I imagine New York's got a lot of big dick energy. I think a lot of people are like, you know what, I have a big dick, I'm moving to New York.
You do get checked at Ellis Island, and if you don't meet the height requirements, they turn you away.
Did you hear that Grease is getting a prequel?
Yes.
You know what Grease is. They don't have to explain that to you.
Yeah, Summer Lovin'. I mean,
I'm not talking about the lube that you used to masturbate with.
Correct. We were talking about the movie musical with a member of the Family Closet Case, John Travolta, and that other lady.
Olivia Neutron Bomb. Neutron John. So 1978, the Broadway musical Grease was turned into a motion picture, and Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta's careers exploded. And several years later, they made a sequel, Grease 2, that a lot of people are not familiar with, starring Michelle Pfeiffer. And it had just a bunch of like kind of D-list.
But people kind of like Grease 2 now more than the original because it was like it's so stupid.
Grease 2 is very edgy and weird. And there's a song about like sex education called Reproduction. And they go, where does the pollen go? Did we lose you, Zach?
I'm still here. Oh, okay. I just know what you want from me.
No, so anyways, they're turning this into a prequel, and they're going to be filming. It's called Summer Loving, and is going to be showing the events leading to the start of Grease.
Have they cast it?
No,
it's just in the works. They're just trying to get people outraged on the internet about it so that they get some kind of like blood boiling and people getting infuriated. And then they can say to people with big fat money wads in their wallet, say, look, people are going to hate this movie. Let's make it. And they'll say, you're right.
That's the weird little world we live in.
That is the weird. Yes. Outrage sells.
Outrage sells. How can we make people mad about my album, Clean Comedy, which can be bought at Zach-Zimmerman.com. How do we get people mad about following me on Instagram at ZZZZ? How do we get the internet upset?
ZZ, you're the top.
Exactly, ZZ Top.
I don't know. Maybe, post a lot of your butthole videos that you talk about in stand-up comedy.
I thought about dubbing like footage on top of them. All these people send me these butthole videos. It's really two. I got two butthole videos.
But you're in the top 10 of the comedy albums. What are you complaining about?
I have no idea what that means.
That means that not many people. I'm just kidding.
I don't think that many people buy comedy albums.
And why is that?
I don't know. Is it like a dying, or maybe they do? It's true. I don't have the numbers. Is this like 100 people, or is it 1,000? Like 1,000? I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, has your ex wanted you to?
Oh my god, he reached out. I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, should I give him a heads up? Hey, you're a character in this album.
Major character.
And I talked to a friend and who had a book that she talked about some of her exes in. And I was like, what did you do? And she's like, if they're not a part of your life now, like reaching out is kind of just for you. You want like assurance or something. So better to like not. But he reached out and said it was like super funny and like shared it on his Instagram. I think he liked, I mean, he doesn't come off super bad in it. What was a little strange is he had been making art out of the same story.
Oh, wow.
And had like a storytelling piece about it. Oh. And then he sent me the audio, which I have not listened to yet.
It's Die, Zach, Die is the name of the
You haven't listened to it?
Well, I started it, and it was like, I turned to Zach on the plane, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I can't.
Will you send it to me? I want to hear it. I'm going to critique it.
I do maybe need another person to listen to it and then like be like, oh, my God, Zach, you have to listen to this.
I'll send you the notes.
Or like, send me notes. Yeah, I'm going to do something with it because I'm taking a version of this show to Edinburgh in August this year. And I feel like listening to it
on
has
plane?
To play some role. Oh, my God. That's good. You know, I'm all for it's the hard thing about like bad things are good when you're an artist. So you want to manufacture terrible experiences for yourself. So that you can make fun of them later, but that's scary.
Yeah, I think that's a myth that people believe in.
Right? You don't want to be too bad. You always want to be like kind, or you never want to willfully seek out. Like, I'd rather not get dumped. I'd rather not be raised evangelical. But I guess since I have, I'll make the best of it.
Well, Zach, I hope that, you know, you're putting your boyfriends on blast and into a comedy album doesn't keep you from pursuing your dreams.
Finding love.
Finding love, yeah.
Oh, that's the real dream. But yeah, I mean, the most exciting thing's been, like, when I look at the top 10 charts, like, they're all straight dudes. And it's kind of exciting to be amongst them. Like, yes, I'm still a white cis guy, but at least a little queer. And so that's what I've been most excited about, and just the queer community buying the album and supporting me and reviewing it and saying nice things. What's meant the most is actually people saying that, oh, this inspired me to like hustle a little bit harder, or like, oh, I struggle with my parents too. Like, you can tell me I'm funny and vulnerable till the cows come home, and yes, it'll be fun for you. But that's kind of been the coolest part, is people who feel like a little seen by the story or a little motivated to be like, whoa, this dude like independently released an album and now it's on the Billboard charts. Like, no record label, no agent, no manager, no publicist. Like, damn,
it's democracy in action, my
girl.
Friend.
Seize the means of production.
Yes, we've taken over, and I get like 6 out of the 10 bucks when people buy it, so that can help me afford health insurance for my hypochondria. That's exciting too.
Yeah, maybe so one day you can get on PrEP, too.
One day. Instead, I just live in fear and spend way too much for condoms.
Zach, it's always good talking to you.
Oh, I had a blast. I hope to be back in Chicago at some point here this summer, or we'll have to meet up.
Yes, please stop by the home studio.
Yeah, I really appreciate the subtle way you caressed your buttocks with bubbles in your photo.
Yes, people have to look at the album cover. And if you, I'm going to post behind the scenes, like the making of, where you can see that it was not as sexy as it seems. It was a very funny shoot. But I'll post that probably next week if people want to follow me.
Or send me the video. I'll post it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It'll be
a Feast of Fun exclusive.
I'll put it on the Patreon and for the Plus listeners. Too hot for, those goody two shoes at YouTube and iTunes and Facebook, run by a bunch of Mormons.
Mark Mormon Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Mormon Zuckerberg. Mormon Zucker boring.
Boring. There you go.
Goodbye, Zach.
Love you both. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Fausto. I'll see y'all soon.
Take care, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye. Zach Zimmerman lives in New York City. Check out his new comedy album, Naughty Boys Need Love Too. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Clean Comedy. Comedy, available where all albums are sold, or you can stream it from his website, zach-zimmerman.com.
I listened to the whole album. It's pretty good, I have to say. You know, two thumbs up, definitely.
And one in his butt.
It's interesting how he's, you know, Chicago's such an improv town. That's what he did here. And then he's just like, it's just not going to work for New York. And then launches into stand-up.
I want to know from the listeners who are in entertainment and comedy and stuff, do you guys ever get approached by people that you're dating or trying to have sex with, and do they ask you, am I going to be in your act? Am I going to be on your podcast?
Are you recording me right now?
Because I don't really think so. But I wouldn't mind if you did a show all about me. I was like, maybe.
Maybe
not, but probably not. Not really, no.
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member, sign up at feastoffun.com/plus, because that's a great way to support this podcast. We wouldn't be able to talk to fantastic comedians like Zach if it weren't for you. We also have a new Patreon up, and it's patreon.com/feastoffun, where you can unlock our vault of goodies.
You bet. Hi, this is Scarlet Envy from RuPaul's Drag Race. When I'm not busy getting eliminated, I like to... When I'm not busy being a star on Instagram, I like to listen to Feast of Fun.
That's kind of what she sounds like.
It's right? Tracy Tyler and Scarlet Envy both have the same voice. Although What's no that? One's yet gone... Horny. But they're well one
you
day.
You know what? Somebody's going to ask Scarlett to say horny, and then horny is going to become her catchphrase. And so all your
hard
Tracy's
work.
Legacy will be completely
obliterated
by the tidal wave that is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Television.
Sorry.
Not sorry. I'm sorry. It was up for grabs. I'm just so... Horny.
Horny. Is it good? Does it sound good with nasal congestion?
Try it.
Horny.
Yeah, sounds fantastic.
That's what I thought.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember that everybody gets to listen to the podcast a little bit sooner by becoming a Feast of Fun supporter. You can go do that at feastoffun.com/plus or on our Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye bye. Mm-hmm.